Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC to hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling CRISPR gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me getting bullshit, I can't even count on the dough this month I did, from coast to coast, we roasting toast, I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close,
do
you think they really ready for you, nah, do you think that there'll be many of you, nah, do you really think they ready for you, nah, do you think they really ready for you, nah, do you think that there'll be many of you, nah, do you really think they ready for you, nah. Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame. But we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all this. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight land gleaming. Through broad stripes and bright stars, through oh, the fire,
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Bring me the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Georgia. God of our weariness, God of our sovereignness, thou who has brought us thus far.
Sounds of Jimmy Early.
Yeah! cares.
Hey.
And no money for the gold out there.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Do you have what it takes to head into the heart of the storm? Check out NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
Y'all, tough enough. Just wake up, y'all. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Good morning, y'all. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. So important today. I'm black and I'm proud, regardless of what's going on. Come on, y'all. We're tired of beating our head up against the wall and working for somebody else, I tell you. Welcome, y'all. How y'all doing this morning? I couldn't hardly wait to come to you this morning because so much pain, so much things been going on since last time I was here. I know a lot of y'all got a lot on your mind. A lot of stuff been going on. You're thinking about the shooting and the killing, and I mean, they keep you on your toes, on you. Just a nervous wreck. I was reading in the paper yesterday with a trio where this lady was saying this weekend that she was going away just so she can get some peace because she know with the taste and all other stuff going on, we would not be adequately protected. I read what the superintendent said that they was undermanned, understaffed, and overworked. Just a whole lot of stuff. Ronnie Manuel was out in the community the other day with the boulevards, and it's just so much stuff. Karen Lewis said she going to run. Bill Reddy said he going to run. Talking loud and saying nothing. There's a song out there. Just so much stuff going on. And here you are in the middle trying to survive. And there are more good people in our community than bad people. And there's a hidden hand that's keeping all this stuff going on. We're going to have Dr. Pat Newton on this morning. We're going to really talk about the psychological stuff and all this stuff that's going on with us. And I don't want y'all to think that I'm going to demean or condone no shooting, because none of us would want any of our children hurt or our parents hurt or our people or our neighbors hurt. But if we don't psychoanalyze this stuff and be emotional, it's going to be something. I drove a couple of my children and grandchildren the other day. We were riding. I said, let me take you inside, because yes, you'd be on the perimeter outside. And I took them inside a community on the west side of the ward, on the west side of the southwest side, and showed them a whole community that's empty. Looked like a forest of grass is just there. And my daughter asked me what happened to the people. I said, that's part of the strategy. I mean, you see a whole group of people that got moved out from the development, CHA development. Now you see them from without. See, when other folks have a strategy for you and you fall into it or you don't know how to protect yourself, that's something. So that's why I'm going to have Dr. Newton on today, and you'll get a chance to talk to her too. I'm very disturbed about this shooting and this killing. But I'm also disturbed by the fact that this school system have turned out functionally illiterate students. And it should be some kind of charges against these people who had these students in these schools all these years and did not teach them, did not prepare them to take care of themselves. That's why, after all, you send your children to school so they can learn to be productive citizens. But instead, the school system turned out a lot of this mess, too. And they had these students in there, and I remember they had, based off of age, you got promoted. They experimented with continuous progress, mastery learning. Then they did promotional age promotion. If you got too old to be in elementary school, they just pushed you to high school and put you out. Drugs and guns and everybody else around. What have happened, the continual assault on our community is dealing with the whole mental health of this thing. This thing is heavy. It's heavier than you can ever imagine. And there is a hidden hand. And it is a destruction, as Chancellor Williams said, of the black civilization. But really, it's a new destruction if you look at it. I'm sure some of you saw the last 2 weeks, and they keep running, the 60s, how they showed people standing up. And you saw youth that was engaged in fighting for the liberation of black people. So tell me, how can you take that from the 60s to 2014, or 2000 really? You ain't got to go to 14, because you take this and you turn the children, young folks who are turning on themselves. Where did that come from? And why? And the defendant did an article last week on, and if you didn't get it, it was a good article, on how many homeless young men are out here in the street with no place to go. And they just kind of blend in. And then they have to do certain things to be in it. And I really, because you can talk about when we were kids, but most of you had fathers, whether they had a degree or not, They could go work in factories. They had jobs to take care of their families. They had places to go. We had to, when we would dance and stuff, we went to the youth center and learned how to dance, and somebody was there observing and watching, teaching us how to socialize. Every community except the black community had these different clubs and places for their children to go. And we don't have them. I'm sorry. And if you know where they are, you call me. And the place that we do have, like the Harold Washington Culture Center, is not what you call a youth center, but it's a culture center where we take children off the street on the stage. And you don't see the media showing you how great those students are. They won't show you that. They will not cover those students because they cannot make you think any students are doing anything out here. And you got people in different pockets out here around our communities trying to hold on and keep things together here. But you got people who just got here, you know, and they are allowed to get better things, live in better communities, access to capital and everything else, whereas we are still denied. And these are not excuses, but the denial to our community is so great that if we keep fighting and just running and dodging bullets, we don't have time to see what's really being done to us. It makes no sense. I saw on Channel 11 last night when they did the piece about a ride through the boulevard, and they were showing how what used to be on the boulevard and what's there now. But I might put my boulevard restoration up on my site. You know, we did a thing with Harold Washington talking about restoring the boulevards and how you build communities. And black folks, and I want you to understand, and I'm talking to all of my sisters, brothers, young and old. When we tried to tell you blacks was around, we had control on, we still semi now, all of the transportation, the parks, the north, south, east, west arterial streets, expressways. And we got tricked out of it. And we continue to get tricked out of it, just like people in South Shore right now is getting tricked out of their areas because they rather run than fight. You know that Tarrant say, I'd rather fight than switch? Tarrant in commercial a long time ago. But our people rather switch than fight. Black women and black children are the only thing in this country, the only people in this country that's not protected right now. And all that, and I hate to say anything about the march and put down the guns and doing all that. That is not going to stop this out here. At some point, it gets to be a joke. They'll go do some shooting just to see you. I don't know what happened to Pastor Brooks putting men on the corners and all of that. And when I heard that, I wanted to see how it worked out because he couldn't have been patterning it after Deacon of Defense because the Deacon of Defense was some brothers that believed in defense. They weren't out there holding no signs of a, you know, they weren't doing that. They decided to defend the community. So when I look at what's going on, I'm in pain because I love black people. And I know that youth don't have alternatives in the black community. They try to always paint us as some kind of weakling, begging, this no good, nothing. And when I see people like O'Reilly talking about, well, you know, they're having babies and they're doing drugs and they're doing this. And we began to repeat those things that people are saying about us. And we began to think that we all do drugs, we all doing this, and we all doing that. And we just be so down on ourselves. Now, there was a lot of shooting during the 4th of July weekend. And we had too many shootings. But I don't think they pulled out the shooting that happened in the Hispanic community. They only focused on ours. And it's terrible what happened. Don't get me wrong, y'all. I don't like it. But what about the girl who stabbed up somebody 12 times? I mean, these whites are killing, the Hispanics are killing, but nobody, they don't highlight. They come up with some reason that these people are sick. When the heroin got to be an epidemic out in the western suburbs, they started cracking down. Well, here you have Obama right here trying to give billions of dollars to give school and medicine and lawyers for these folks who decide to cross this border on their own because they're escaping violence. They're escaping violence and poverty. Hey, y'all, dun-dun-dun, sound familiar? Maybe it's time for us to escape violence and poverty and go to the seat of power in Washington and say we're escaping violence and poverty. Where is ours? Where is our repairing the damage to us? But you can't say that. And one of the things is in terms of access to capital, people start making us think that we don't have a right to have access to capital. Well, you know, we just need to put our money together and do this. Yes, we do. But in the meantime, we need access to capital because the capitals are your tax dollars. Because everybody who come in here, and I know that for a fact, like, these people pay reparations. When the Koreans came in, they set them up in our community, and they gave them repairing the damage. They set up people, and they have opened up stores and don't pay taxes for so long. All these other folks, and some of these people they let come in because they're more European than we are. You know, Mexicans just blend in. They're Mexican and they're white. Look at it. They can be either one. You only black. So even the Arabs, you got Arab whites, Arabs this. So they bring these people in, out of them, and they replace them with Iraq and Sudan. They bring these people in, and they set them up in business. And then you're trying to compete with these folks with one hand tied behind your back, and you're on your knees. You got one hand tied behind your back while you on one knee on the ground. And then you say, we can do it too. Well, these people have currency. They have country. I was talking to Professor Small the other night. He was saying that we were talking about the blacks in America and the blacks in Canada are the only blacks who was not allowed to really maintain their African culture and maintain a similarity. We've been on the salt period because even in the other Americas, those folks was able to maintain some stuff they couldn't have. And I told you once before that everybody have had a place to go to and escape to, but us. We built this country, and everybody escape and come over here and enjoy all the resources. And they're able to move. And it's so funny because these people can move in communities that you can't dare move in. They're able to do things, you know. I remember you were going to talk about the gas station. I heard Stephanie Neely one day on the radio with Matt talking about how her father had a gas station and how he was able to send her to school, and they were entrepreneurs. Well, I want to add to that. Her father had a gas station, but you had Delma, who had a gas station over there on Woodlawn, 47 in Woodlawn. You had James Adam over there on 55th and Wabash. You had folks all over the west side, south side, who had these Amoco stations. And I remember when they took that station from Delma because they wanted to give it to them folks that they wanted to give it to, they would not renew. And when Jimmy Adams, he also had Adams Cafe, had car washes. And I remember when Jimmy Adams died, and I remember they come to his son with this big old briefcase of money because I was still alderman. And I told him, do not give up your dad the station. And they wanted the station. Well, see, they wouldn't even renew the same lease Amoco had with Jimmy Adams. Why did they not release? Because they wanted, so he had to go out there on the open market and get gas. And his gas had to be different. Then they shut Stephanie Neely's father them down over there on Lake Park and all them folks. And they had an association of gas stations owners, black. If there's some of y'all out there listening, call and talk to me about it. Association of gas station owners. That these folks literally forced out. These folks didn't just close these business down. They were like forced out. And then when you come to these restaurants and stuff, have you looked at how many contracts are in those schools? Have you looked at the sodium and all the food these kids are getting and the type of food that they talking about? Michelle said that she wants to have good food in the schools, but you should look at who's bringing this food in these trucks. You parents better look. And who got the contracts? And who bringing this sodium and these pizzas and this and that and this and that and they having all of these things that they're bringing in and they're feeding it to our kids. Those kids are not eating healthy. Certain schools are eating healthy. Just they're getting healthy food and healthy minds. Oh, my grandbaby was in a camp over at Miles Davis, engineering camp this summer, my little 8-year-old. And to see that school and to see how they do and what they're doing and how they're teaching those children about the black engineering and things. And those kids are grabbing that. They're young. What happens? You give all the kids, but it's a magnet school. We said all schools should operate like magnet schools. They don't have to give the resources to those schools. give everything to those schools, and then those children will operate. But you, this was deliberate. These children, they've turned out like animals that they want to shoot down like dogs, our babies. They set that up. And they come in for South Shore just as sure as I'm sitting here, and I've been telling y'all that for 2 years. They shooting up and down South Shore and turn them animals loose over there and go get them. Sick them, pit bull. I put my black pit bull on you. Run, run, run. Then you run out and the other ones come in. Now, this immigration thing, it's not everybody want to holler about the Mexicans and this and that and the Puerto Rican and all that. Hey, y'all, it's not. They bringing in so many white foreigners. And because of post-traumatic slavery syndrome, most of your black people see white folks and automatically think they belong and start acting inferior to them because of what's in your mind. Remember, the European countries don't need visas to come here. In Canada and Mexico have a special relationship with America in terms of bringing people in. But when you start dealing with Britain and Europe, France, all them folks over there, they don't need visas. They just walk in. Where are you going to go, black folks? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go, black Americans? If you don't want to forget it. If everybody leave America and go back to their home, where are you going? Where are your country? We build it. We have a right to it. And right now, I know you're feeling down, and they're making us feel down everywhere. Shooting, they say, there's shootings here, shootings there, shooting is everywhere. So I'm going to have Dr. Pat Newton to come on today to just kind of talk about this whole psychological thing of what's going on with us. But black men, I'm calling on you. They say, I'm not messing with them boys crazy. Now, if these boys are too crazy for black men to discipline them, then what? And do you think marching and holding up signs is going to help? We need to deal with this. You got to separate the wheat from the chaff, give opportunities to those who want opportunities. You got to do something with those who don't. But we have to have jobs. We have to have a lot of things. We have to have communities. Everybody in this city, in this country, can have a community for black people. When black folks began to build communities and they have leadership that's building communities, they wipe that leader out. Say, I dare you to do that. But I think we're going to be all right. We just got to stop this. We can't let these folks kill our spirit. We just can't do that, y'all. When you give up hope, you're dead. We are spirit. We are energy. We are I am what I am that I am. And if we stop being I am, it's all over. And I refuse. We just got to do what we got to do here. And those blacks who have made it off the backs of black folks got to stop treating black community like there's some social worker coming here and like those people. I heard a basketball player said the other day, I came back to show them they can get out. Get out what? They should be saying, I'm here to show them how we can build communities. But that's the way it is. I'm on my soapbox, y'all. But I am going to have Dr. Newton come on a little early today so that we can begin to get into this classroom today. Is going to be Dr. Patricia Pack Newton, one of your great psychologists. Great. She's really great. She practices in Maryland. She deals a lot with melanoma, post-traumatic slavery syndrome, and a whole lot of stuff. She counseled a lot of people, but she's pretty good. You listen to the Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We are on Facebook, through Facebook. We're also on iHeartRadio. You can take us anywhere you know. We're on Blog Talk. Just type in Dorothy Tillman Blog Talk. You'll get me, or you can type in Jim Lee Underground. And you'll get me, you can get me and hear this whole show over, or you can get me that way. But this is your day to talk about what we need to do and ask Dr. Newton some questions if you have it. But I say to you, don't give up. Don't give up hope. If you give up hope, you're dead. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee tea in the conversation with me. Call everybody to wake them up. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Come on. Come on.
Laptops, MP3 players, cameras, video games, cell phones. In times like these, schools can become a shopping mall for thieves.
Got it.
Don't become a victim of crime. Leave your valuable stuff at home, and if you do have to bring them to school, keep them with you. Write down their serial numbers and don't flash expensive items around. Be smart. If you have something cool, there's a good chance someone else will want it too. Keep cash and ATM cards in a secure place and never give anyone your PIN number. And don't leave your school bag lying around where it can become a temptation to someone else. If you have something stolen, report the situation immediately. The sooner you tell someone, the better the chance you'll get it back. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how to prevent school theft. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Science Today. And the next caller is 9-year-old Philip.
Hi. Well, I know the molecular formula for glucose, C6H12O6. And the general formula for an alkene is CnH2n plus 2. But I can't seem to find any scientific formula for Bob.
Bob?
My goldfish.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Hi. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children. Not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential, so call 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. Brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
Attention parents of young children.
The following is a partial list of things that are probably happening in your backseat
that you are completely unaware of.
A food item is probably being stuffed into a crack.
A strange sticky substance is being spread everywhere.
Deep, sustained, nasal exploration.
Someone is probably making faces.
Hitting. Hitting back.
The cleaning of muddy shoes.
Farting!
Something is probably spilling.
Gum is lodging in hair.
And your kids are probably riding car seats that are being used incorrectly. In fact, 3 out of 4 kids are not as safe as they should be. But the latch system is in most cars and makes it easier to get it right.
Just attach the top tether and the lower anchors.
The ones down near the old sandwich and the melted down crayons.
Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety.
A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp.
It's just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs or put in a programmable thermostat,
how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now and tuck away more resources for later.
You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Colin, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to Science Today. And we already have our next caller. Welcome. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hello, Philip. You sound really young.
Not really. I'm 9.
Oh, wow. You're still in elementary school, right?
Does that matter?
Oh, no, not at all. What's your question?
Well, I know the molecular formula for water is H2O. I also know that hydrocarbon is CH3CH250CH3. Glucose is C6H12O6. The general formula for an alkene is CnH2n plus 2. But what I can't seem to find is any scientific formula for Bob.
Bob?
My goldfish.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things.
To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Mic check, 1-2, big poser coming to you faking
yeah,
it ever.
Got no more games since I got with the juice. No cruising with my friends, they cut me loose. Now my coach is hating, parents keep berating. Good thing my team's still behind me saying.
Hey yo, what happened to my teammates, man? Yo, where y'all at, man? Come on, man, I thought we were family.
Ugh, don't be a poser. Hear more at don'tbeanasterisk.com. Brought to you by Ad Council and the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Chicago, get ready. The Taste of WVON is Saturday, July 19th at Lorraine Dixon Park, 87th and Dolphin. Taste the food.
Get your grub on.
Taste the fun. And check out our great taste in music.
Hot fun with VON.
Visit WVON.com for all things taste. You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690, WVON.
Say it louder.
I'm getting
proud.
Say it louder.
I'm getting proud.
Look here.
Some people say we got a lot of malice. Some say it's a lot of nerve. But I say we want to keep moving until we get what we deserve. Say it loud. 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 I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm back, y'all. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. How y'all doing this morning? Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. We are on Blog Talk. We're also on Facebook. I think if you Facebook me, Ebony might give me the messages at some point. You can be on group Facebook and Twitter. So we're here to talk this morning, kind of open. We don't have Dr. Pat Newton on. She's going to really be good as we talk about this trauma that's going on in our community. Because we're being traumatized, y'all. We are very traumatized. And my question is, why is the president want to give money for lawyers, schools, and medical stuff when black people and black children are right now and have no place to go? And we can't get anything. Our schools are messed up. Our schools are closing. The hospital clinics, they have dumped mental health. I remember when Thompson closed all the mental health centers. Look at that mental man beating folks in the face. There's a lot of stuff going on with us. So we're going to have Pat on this morning to really talk about trauma. I'm going to bring her on a few minutes before we go for the break so she can be held over so you can get her into. So we are going to, before I go to the phone, I want to play this song by Jackie Wilson. He said, "There is no pity in the naked city." There is no pity, y'all.
There's no pity.
I'm coming to the phone in a minute, y'all. Just hang in there.
City,
yeah. How many minutes on that, Courtney?
When you're all alone.
When you're all alone, there's no pity,
and
y'all.
All your hard-earned money's gone.
There's no pity for black folks in this city.
Ain't no pity,
ain't no pity, y'all. So we got to fight.
Help me now.
help us, y'all.
You go walking down Broadway.
47, 43rd. Are you downtown to the taste?
Watching people catch the subway.
Yeah, go down there to the taste and watch all the blunt they stuff.
Take it from me. Don't ask for a helping hand.
That's right.
Cause no one will understand.
Nah, they don't give it to those people just coming across the border. No jobs, no food, no nothing, no place to go. Hey, y'all, Chicago is naked and so is the black community right now.
Oh, help me now.
Help us, y'all. Help yourself. Stop being cowards. Come on, black men. Stop talking. Start fighting and walking. There's no pity, y'all.
Bright lights will find you.
Jackie and Wilson, they y'all.
Will mess you around.
Let me tell you,
millions will watch.
Get fat on the phone, man.
Have mercy now.
Have mercy, y'all.
Just sink right down.
Woo!
To the ground.
See the message song.
No, 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 in the naked city.
Come on, y'all. Help me, y'all. Come on, let's teach you.
Come on, help me now.
Yeah. Jackie Wilson. Message song, y'all. Message song. There's no pity in the naked city. I'm going to try to take a few calls. So you might want to hold on to Pat Beyond, but I'm going to take just a few calls, and I'm going to write to Pat, Dr. Pat Newton. Maurice, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, my beautiful black.
No pity in the naked city, my brother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. First of all, thanks to Ebony for keeping me informed as to who said what about Michelle Obama being a transvestite.
I don't know anything about that. Ebony didn't tell you that now. I'm on. Don't talk about our first lady.
That's right. That's right. She told me who said what. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Don't talk about our first lady now, Maurice. What else you want?
Only the highest prop. Secondly, God continues to show us that he is in fact God and we are not with that little what the National Weather Service is calling Arthur on the East Coast.
I'm listening now. Come on.
Lastly, economic problems require economic solutions.
That's right. We're going to be talking about that today too.
It's good. If we keep on allowing these big banks, these banks without borders, huge banks like Bank of America to manage their money and ours too, we will never win and they will never lose. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Maurice. Thank you so much, y'all. I'm going to take another call before I talk to Dr. Newton just before we go on a break, y'all, because I want you to hang up so you can talk to Dr. Newton. Now, I want to talk to her before I go on my break to give you a feel for what it is. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, sister. Sister, I have to ask you a question now. Of the two so-called civil rights leaders that we have here, now, I do have love for our brother here in Chicago, but why do they both want everyone to be dewy-eyed about the plight of Mexicans and people south of the border here, when right here in Chicago, under our one brother's nose, sister, in my work, I deliver machinery and steel to companies. I know for a fact there are companies where there are absolutely no black people employed, you know.
Well, you know, we'll go back to breadbasket.
Why do they promote this?
We can't. We shouldn't shout when we can't work. We got to talk about that. But I do know one thing that Reverend Jackson really addressed the other day. He talked about the fact of here we are talking about all these people coming over here. We giving them money for schools and medical and all this other stuff.
It's
and black
us,
folks.
It's hurting black people, sister. It's hurting black. I see. I can take you to the places and show you. And in fact, also, you just mentioned, you told the brother, don't say anything negative about her sister. Haven't we had some first ladies, Sister Tillman, that have really been pro?
No, I said I wasn't going to have him to talk about the first lady on our show that.
No.
What he was getting ready to say.
But haven't we had first ladies, since they have that little bit of power for a short period of time, really do things, promote things to help certain causes,
Oh, you're absolutely right, but I just thought that now what we're talking about, I know she support LBG and all that. That's her. That's what she support, gay marriages and all that. But I was not going to have him call her no transvestite.
Oh, no. I'm totally not into that at all. But I mean, but her city, her black people are living like third-class citizens. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, worse than that. As Dr. Addison said, we fifth-class, Jeff. Keep listening because I want you to hear Dr. Newton. She's really
yes,
going to be addressing this. Okay,
yes,
do
ma'am.
That.
Thank you.
And all I want those of you to hold on. I know the line is lit up, 773-591-1690. But I want to at least talk to Dr. Newton before we go into the break. I have 5 minutes before the break, and I want to talk to her before we go into the break. Let me just go to Dr. Newton. Good morning, Dr. Newton. How you doing?
Good morning, Sister Dorothy. I'm doing great. And how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's so good to have you. Our audience love it when you come on our show.
Well, I'm always honored to be on your show. I feel like it's a very powerful show, and I'm grateful that you continue to call me to be on it.
Well, you're one of the greatest. I don't know anyone who know about the trauma that black folks have suffered and what's going on, your analysis. And, I know you've read about what's going on in Chicago, and the same thing going on in Chicago is going on in other cities. And I just wanted you to kind of give us a taste of what we're going to be talking about on the other side of the break. And just what's kind of 2 minutes of what you're taking, what you think, where we are. And when we come back to classroom, we're going to be yours for an hour.
Okay, well, part of what we need to understand is that what we're living under currently in the United States of America is an extension of what was the slave codes back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We've not changed. They just changed their name. And what our people are manifesting in our areas are the effects of slave code public policy being brought to modern times.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of that, our neighborhoods are being, quote, contained,
mm-hmm.
and contained to the degree that they are limited in resources, limited in opportunities because of the lack of investment, not only from governmental structures, but from our own selves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you could only have so much energy and pressure in a box without the box exploding.
That's right. That's absolutely. So that pressure have just kind of made us just bubble over a little bit.
Exactly.
And it's really, but we are blaming ourselves, and we're so hard. Our children are so ill. I look at these young men and young women, and it just hurt my heart to see what's going on with them. We had killings in the city over the 4th of July holiday, and a lot of black folks get shooting and killing, but we also had other people to do some killing. But nobody showed up in the paper, and nobody was highlighted in the paper but black folks. And they don't talk about the drugs coming over the border, who's bringing the drugs, who's bringing the guns. We need to stop the drugs at the borders of our communities and the guns, too. But they're not talking about that. There was a whole piece on Chicago exactly where they know where the drugs are coming from in Chicago, but they won't stop that. They just won't stop it. They keep letting it come in. And I say, maybe we need to protect our borders in Chicago. Being sarcastic.
Well, I say that's still part of public policy. I mean, whether we want to address it, is that or not, there has to be some kind of unwritten, quote, codes that continue to permit illegal activities to be more manifest in our communities and have impact from outside in our communities. And as I said, all the colonies had slave codes, and these slave codes, and you have a brother in Chicago that really does this very well, Brother Hunter Adams.
Yeah, I'm going to have him on. He's really good.
Yeah, who talks about how the slave codes and then the revised slave codes to handle the so-called free Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be for the original slave codes. We don't call them slave codes today. We call them public policy. And as a result of that, because we don't understand our own history as a collective and realize that what we see being manifested has not only individual issues, but also a larger philosophical policy issue that is designed to make people second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth class citizens.
Okay, now I want you to know that what you're listening to, you're listening to Dr. Pat Newton. I mean, there's no greater. She's just a greater person. And I'm going to have Hunter on real soon, this, before the month is out. So I just a taste. Wake your friends up. Hold on, Pat. It's about time for me to take my break, Dr. Newton. I wanted them to hear you. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, every Saturday from 6 to 8. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and we are also on Twitter. So call up everybody and tell them Dr. Newton is on, and they better come on. She's going to be teaching this class for the next hour on post-trauma and all the things that we need to be doing here to help ourselves move forward to feel good about ourselves. Dorothy Wright Tillman, Coffee Tea in the Conversation with me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. The iHeartRadio network has over 800 stations on it, but there's only one urban talker. You're WVON. Download the iHeartRadio app and take us everywhere you go.
WVON.com. The website. Check it out.
The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago. The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Palestinian officials say about 120 people have been killed and more than 900 have been wounded by Israeli airstrikes targeting Hamas rockets. NBC's Martin Fletcher in Tel Aviv says Israel is prepared to send ground troops into Gaza.
The army says it's all set to invade Gaza. All the army needs now is the government order.
The Centers for Disease Control is closing two laboratories and stopping the shipment of infectious materials after an internal review by the agency showed serious lapses in safety and security measures. Dr. Michael Osterholm is with the Center for Infectious Disease Research.
This should be a wake-up call. This could have happened at any number of labs around the world, and there shouldn't be a lab director in the world sleeping easily.
And comedian Tracy Morgan is suing Walmart over the crash last month that seriously injured him and killed fellow comedian Jimmy Mack. The lawsuit says Walmart was negligent when one of their tractor-trailer drivers rammed into Morgan's limousine bus. This is NBC News Radio. In his weekly radio address, President Obama is urging congressional Republicans to do more to help ordinary Americans.
Do something, Congress. The Republican plan right now is not to do some of this work with me. Instead, it's to sue me. That's actually what they're spending their time on. It's a political stunt that's going to waste months of America's time.
The president will hit the road next week to push for a new highway repair bill. Colorado continues to rake in the cash for their sale of pot. NBC News Radio's John Stolness.
The state's Department of Revenue says they collected $4.7 million from marijuana sales taxes in June, up about $200,000 from the month before. Officials say revenues from pot sales will generate between $60 and $70 million by the end of the 2015 fiscal year.
And the last surviving member of the original Ramones, Tommy Ramone, has passed away. He was 62. Ramone co-founded the band and died of bile duct cancer on Friday. I'm Chris Chansing, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-925-3040, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-925-3040. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 1-800-925-3040. That's 1-800-925-3040.
Hey, it's Matty Matt, everybody. The beginning of the year is a good time to think about making some improvements on your home. If you need professional consultation on home improvement matters, Pyramid General Construction Company is the choice for you. Give them a call right now at 773-804-9999 and let their experts come out to inspect your home. Look, you know the great work that they do on the outside of your building, roofing, gutter, shingles, soffit fascia, and more. But what about the inside of your house? Kitchens and bathrooms improve the value of your home, and nobody does it better than Pyramid. European-style kitchens and luxury bathrooms. And if you're experiencing any water damage to drywall or your ceiling, Pyramid General Construction Company is the choice. Give them a call, 773-804-9999. I've been relying on Pyramid General Construction Company for years, and I encourage you to do the same. Pyramid General Construction Company, 773-804-9999.
Hey, what's up? This is Rhyme Fest. WVON is proud to join other Chicago radio stations for the Put the Guns Down campaign. Remember, it's our community, it's our responsibility, and it's our solution. Speak up!
Did you know that the American parasite may be the reason that you have belly fat and feel tired all the time? In some cases, the American parasite can even increase your blood pressure and contribute to diabetes. These harmful creatures are known to cause body aches, gas, bloating, and hair loss. So has the American parasite invaded your body? The American parasite is expecting you to do nothing. But thanks to Obamacare, preventive services are now covered by most insurance plans. So stop guessing and start testing. Take control of your health. Call Insight Lab Advisors today for a free consultation at 312-204-7276. That's 312-204-7276.
Who's got the hottest talk show in Chicago? We do. Perry Small.
I believe in snitching. I snitched all through grammar school. I was the biggest snitch you ever seen in your life. Perry, watch the class. I'd put everybody's name on the board. Sometimes I'd have a whole class with detention. I don't care. You're disrupting my space.
Perry Small, weekdays at 9 a.m. on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Do something fun. Come to the 40th Annual DuSable Museum Arts and Crafts Festival, deeply rooted in the community, presented by the Lincoln Motor Company, on Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th, on the lawn of the DuSable Museum. Admission is free. Bring the kids to the Children's Pavilion sponsored by the Black McDonald's Operators Association. Check out the arts and crafts from over 100 vendors. Great food and entertainment all weekend long with a special tribute to Frankie Knuckles on Saturday. Do the dream ride experience and test drive a 2015 Lincoln MKC and have a chance to receive a family membership to the DuSable Museum. And there is so much more. Do something and bring the entire family to the 40th Annual DuSable Museum Arts and Crafts Festival, July 12th and 13th. For more information, visit DuSableMuseum.org or call 773-947-0600.
Saturday, July 19th, the stage will be set, the grills will be smoking, and the vibe will be electric. On this day, it can only be the 4th Annual Taste of WVON.
Hot fun with VON.
Visit WVON.com for all things taste. Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
I'll rejoice.
the present has brought her. Facing the rising sun of a new season, let us march on till victory is won.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop. Dr. King said that he have allowed me, God have allowed me to go to the mountaintop. He didn't say I just went there. The spirit of our ancestors, our angel, our God allowed me to go there. And I looked over and I seen the promised land. I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. He wasn't talking about pie in the sky, because there might not be no pie in the sky when you die. It could be a lie. He just couldn't see, knowing Dr. King, as I tell you every Saturday here, and it's not even as in his love for black people, to see that we would open up these doors and black folks would not reach back and build communities. It was hard for him to believe that because he saw other people do that. It is 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the city, in the state. To take that deep breath, is that black enough for you? I tell you, I'm telling you, Courtney and Ebony, take that deep breath. And you too, Dr. Newton. Black, 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 black. One more time, y'all. Black, 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 black. Don't that feel good, y'all? Don't that feel real good? That feel good. Is that black enough for you? Huh? I tell you, some of y'all scared to be black. Hey. Black enough for you. It's all right, Courtney. Yeah. Thank you.
You better make up your mind. We're going to leave you behind.
Woo! Tell y'all, is that black enough for you? It feels so good to be black. You know who you are and where you came from. I tell you, is that black enough for you? We're happy to be back. Talk of Chicago, 169 WVON. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio. We're on Facebook. We're on Blog Talk. Just type in Dorothy Tillman Blog Talk or Jimmy Lee Tillman Underground. And we're on group Facebook and Twitter. We're so happy to have my sister, Dr. Pat Newton, on with us today. And I told you to wake up everybody and tell her I'm going to try to get to all of your calls, but I'm going to let her teach and then I'm going to try to make sure everybody get in to ask Dr. Newton a question or make a statement. She was talking about the slave code. And we were talking, we're really trying to deal with this post-trauma, what's going on in our community. This shooting, this violence, the economic violence, the education violence, the physical violence, there's so many violent things that's happening to us. And I just knew if anybody could talk about that, it had to be Dr. Pat Newton or Dr. Wade Noble. And I said, well, let me get Pat. I'll get Hunter and Wade Nova next. Those are the people I'm going to try to bring to you this month and lead them into August. Dr. New, we were talking about the black code and the psychological, the whole thing of, you know, our people feel so down and so, you know, it's like they're giving up hope, thinking it's all over, thinking we just worse than anybody in the world, and we the only one do this to each other. We the only one kill and shoot, and it's just, we just, the spirit, if you kill the spirit, you kill the person. So this is your classroom today, and I just want you to talk and to teach about this trauma, maybe, because you deal with this stuff every day in terms of working with our people, and it's your classroom. I'm not going to interrupt you. I want you to go on teaching, and I'll take some calls in between. I might inject, but this is your classroom. Start teaching Dr. Pat Newton.
Well, any questions are definitely welcome. And all the violence that we see is a manifestation of the post-traumatic stress disorder, but there's all kinds of violence. And the violence first is perpetrated by a system that creates an underclass. And as I was saying to you, I think some time ago, that our communities are undercapitalized and overtaxed. And as a result of that...
Explain that before you talk on the results, undercapitalized and overtaxed. Because our community might not understand that.
We don't get enough money and resources. For example, let me be clear. For those African-Americans who live in the so-called inner-city communities, who want to do business, who want to create jobs and opportunities for their people, they oftentimes are not able to access the money that are required to begin those institutions or begin those organizations or businesses so they can then replicate themselves over and over and help each other. When there was segregation, we did have some businesses, but we also still had limited opportunities. So what I'm saying is that even in the situation where people want to do, oftentimes the money that is required, the capital that is required to get those things off the ground, because there's going to be that lag phase before you actually start generating the income. We don't get it. We if we do get it as a collective, it's certainly less than what we need, so that you're constantly scrapping the bottom of the barrel, you know, making that dollar stretch to the end of the month, more days in the month than there is money. There are a lot of us, of course, who have bought into the system that we're not going to do anything. We are going to just have to be third and fourth class, and we might as well go on and do what we want to do and heck with it because nobody cares about us. So I'm going to die young anyway. Prison becomes the new school, that school-to-prison pipeline. And gun violence is only a manifestation of the violence that we have within the country. You know, the United States of America was predicated on violence. I mean, first with the Native Americans and then with the transatlantic slave trade, where African Americans built this country on free labor, for which we have, of course, never been paid. And as Professor Hilary Beckles out of Barbados calls it, it's time for reparative justice, not just reparations, but reparative justice. And if there is such a thing, I don't know how we will ever be paid for what was done to us, but there is some way to do some mitigation. And by beginning to recapture and reinvest within our cities. Now, Dick Gregory says we don't have communities anymore. He said there is no black community because everybody is so spread out, and once those people who have made it, the message that gets delivered is hurry up and get your education so you can get yourself up and out.
Well, you know what's so true about that, Dr. Newton, is that I heard one of the athletes the other day on TV talking to some of the young men and say, I came to show you that you can get out. Get out. I made it out, you can get out there. Like, what are you getting out from? And he's absolutely right.
And it's the violence and the other. I mean, you know, you saw the statistics or you heard about the statistics from the CDC, where, you know, our children are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
Our children, more than any other group within the United States, are all suffering from PTSD within our inner cities. And so what it means is that getting up and getting out is because if we keep leaving behind everything,
mm-hmm.
then there is nothing but violence and mayhem, because if you put things in a box, as I say it, that box can only hold so much. There's a finite amount of energy and people that a containment can hold.
Mm-hmm.
And after that point, it has to explode.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a release, because it can't confine all that pent-up energy and aggression. You know, let's look at our cities. Chicago is probably as well as Baltimore an example. And all the recreational centers are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really nothing for the children to do in the summer. You know.
Winter neither. They can't get no jobs. They can't even go to get
them. They can't get employment.
They can't even work at the fast food anymore.
And we do not have the ability as a collective to create these kinds of jobs that we need to keep our children educated. We put them in inferior schools. We still, you know, separate but equal, whether we're supposed to be integrated or not, there's a lot of separate but equal stuff still going on. It's not even equal.
Right.
The education that our children get is not preparing them, and we are creating a climate where thugism becomes the rule of law, and where our children think being smart and being able to get yourself an education, to be able to empower yourself, is something wrong with it. And our children are bullied when they do want to succeed. Our children have to walk past all kinds of horrible situations. The children should not be exposed to the dope dealers, the prostitutes, the trafficking of human beings, just to get to the schoolyard.
And not to mention, you know, I was looking at, and I'm going to take one of my colleagues, Mark Wallace, we're going to go on a tour and just film this stuff. It's two cities in Chicago. In our community, you see the city-owned lots are not cut. The sidewalks are not clean. You go to the same community. That community, the city is cutting and cleaning that community. They're cleaning all around the expressway. So they not only walk past all of the dope dealers and the other things, they walk through a nasty community, a community.
Yeah. Yes.
That we pay taxes. That's what you meant, overtaxed and under.
Right. That's exactly what I mean.
That
we have to, as a people, advocate and agitate for our tax dollars to be reintegrated back into where we live.
Right.
And not just to go to the, quote, general fund.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is that in the 60s, we agitated, and I'm not talking about agitated in terms of a violent situation,
mm-hmm.
but we were constantly attempting to hold people accountable.
Right.
We've been drugged out and BET'd and MTV'd and out, so that we no longer agitate, advocate, and create.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we need for our communities. If we are paying taxes, even those who want to do, as I said before,
mm-hmm.
are not able to do. Our banks don't give young entrepreneurs or even old entrepreneurs money, the capital that they need to create institutions. So therefore, nothing gets done. And so people who have any kind of sense of pride do say, let me get out. Let me go. Because I can't fight it. It's too big for me. It's more than I can handle. And I don't want my children exposed to it. So let me hurry up and run away. And then when they run away, they run into environments that are hostile.
Mm-hmm.
They run into environments that, while there may not be gunshots, there's name calling, there's marked discrimination, there's abuse of your children in terms of fights and that kind of thing, when they go into these schools with these predominantly other groups who really don't want them there, and there is institutionalized racism that does not permit capital in terms of home equity, in terms of the ability to help people buy property and do things to clean up their neighborhood. So let me back up.
Mm-hmm.
While it sounds bad, and it is bad, we can do for self.
Right.
We did for self when we had less.
Right.
And so while all of this doom and gloom is there, we have to look at the fact that we may have failed in the education of our own children about self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
We bought into the myth of integration. We bought into the myth that we had, quote, overcome. We bought into the myth that people would, in fact, accept us and that people would love us if we could go and sit in their stores.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that transition of thought and then the babysitting by alien beings like televisions and now computers, we dehumanized the already dehumanized.
Uh-huh.
The system dehumanized us. You know, we were dehumanized. And then we have bought into the system, some of us, as
uh-huh.
a collective, and continued that process because we have not learned anything else. And so what am I saying? We have churches still in our communities
mm-hmm.
that can do more.
We have more churches than anybody.
And
you know what happened? You know what happened with that, Dr. Newton, is that the churches had a code. In terms of they had a mission. And even we talked last night about blacks who had money, but they had money with a purpose. We talked about Jane Brown. Remember we talked about all the stuff that Jane
mm-hmm.
Brown did?
Mm-hmm.
With his limited education, he tried to build community.
That's right.
S.B. Fuller tried to build community. Madam C.J. Walker, blacks used to have money with a purpose, but these folks
who
got money, they run our churches. I mean, what's the lady name? Miss Lee Walker, Penny for a purpose where she built this bank? What's her name? Ms. Walker, you remember her, who built a bank? And then you had, we built our schools, we did stuff with money with a purpose. But the money now, black folks are used black folks to get what they want, and then they run. So right now, I think our children feel under siege. I know, now there's violence educationally, too. The mental violence that this school system has put on our children and giving them these functions, making them functionally illiterate, that's a crime.
Well, it is a crime, and our communities are not holding our educational systems through our city government responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We are not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are looking at the victim, which are the children, and blaming the victim.
Uh-huh.
The children are simply a reactionary formation or acting out what they've seen us perpetrate.
Well, I read in The Defender last week, I was telling the audience about, where they were talking about the homelessness among young men 14 to 20-something. And I looked at my two grandsons, and I really thought about it. One of them just decided to leave school. He's not in college. His job, he said, I don't like it. So he's doing other stuff. He's working a job that really couldn't hold him up anywhere. And the other one's home from school. And if they didn't have family to really help, they would probably be part of that population. That whole family thing of family people holding out. So what you have is black children, black men out here, they said, and The Defender was that they're hanging out trying to blend in so people won't know that they're homeless. So they hang out with these people. And they said the homelessness among black men in Chicago is very high. Among family is very high. Because, like, when my grandson, he said, I just want to act. So he's doing landscaping in the daytime and acting in the evening time at the Harold Washington. But what if he didn't have family? What if he didn't have this?
Right.
So when you look at all of that, you know, and I'm going to, y'all hang on, 773-591-69, I'm going to go to the phone in a minute. You know, when I first met you, Dr. Newton, I was just so impressed. Not impressed because I don't like that word. I was just overwhelmed with the fact that you were saying that how black men, we really never dealt with the raping of black men as they were coming over here on the slave ship.
Right.
And now we got the feminization of black boys with their pants hanging. I don't care. Take them. Their pants hanging down, their booty showing. They walking like girls. They walking like, really, like the slaves walk when the slaves had the chain around them.
Mm-hmm.
So If you can just touch on it a little bit about this whole piece of what happened to black men on the slave ship and how we...
Well, it was on the plantations, the slave ships, and everywhere else. You know, they were indeed raped, like women were raped. And as a result of that kind of trauma, you know, we were property. And so property was dealt with however they choose to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that included for sexual objectification as well as abuse, whatever the proclivities were, whatever the desire was, you know, you were property and you were used. Women were used, men were used. It has created a wedge in our relationships, and now the young men who are succeeding in the environment, there's an attempt to effeminize them and to masculinize women. Now, I'm not... you know, dealing with someone's sexual orientation. So now I want y'all to get on the phone and go there because that's not the priority for today's conversation. So let me get that real clear up front.
That's all right.
What we're talking about is the psychology of making men less threatening,
mm-hmm.
and effeminizing men and dehumanizing people makes them less of a threat because we have great skills, great talents, and we can do for self with virtually nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to eliminate the competition, we've got to eliminate the competition by decreasing the population. And, you know, if you don't have men and women getting together, you don't have birth.
Right.
And as the Hispanics and blacks' birth rates were higher than the European birth rates, what we're now beginning to see is an increase in white having children.
Even they're doing another test tube going.
As they regentrify our neighborhoods.
Right.
And making our neighborhoods to the degree that not only can you can't afford to live there. And so there's a plan to take the cities back to raise the tax structure of the city so that the tax base and revenue can go to city government, which is, you know, theoretically a very good plan, but you need to be ease parity in terms of the people who already live there and allow them the opportunity to raise their tax base,
mm-hmm.
rather than moving them out to bring people in and discarding these people, our people, as less than, so that we can eliminate them so we can raise our revenue. So part of that tax, that whole sexual issue, is not only do you take it to a lower level of the base level of physical sexuality, but you demasculate men by not giving them appropriate ability to take care of their children, to take care of their families, to take care of themselves. All of that is still rape.
Right.
All of that is still making somebody less than.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have homeless black men and homeless black families, that is still rape. It's rape at a different level, but it's still rape.
Right. Well, let me go to the phone because some people have been holding on for so long. 773-591-69. Maceo has been holding on for almost an hour for you, Dr. Newton. Maceo, how you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning,
Dr. Newton.
When
you both talk about the commitment to family, the devotion to the uplift of the race, the commitment to agitating on behalf of the race, there is none, no finer, you know, that we have a numerous amount of ancestors that did this, but the great Ida Bell Wells Barnett,
exactly.
You know, and her birthday is coming up this Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, the importance of that is that is, you know, history is such a great teacher, and a lot of our ancestors, such as the great Ida Bell Wells Barnett, did all of the things that you, both you and Alderman Tillman, are talking about in terms of dealing with this system and fighting against this system on behalf of our people. And I believe it is incumbent upon us as a people to learn about our children, especially to learn about these great figures so that
exactly.
they can deal with, I mean, they dealt with what we're going through today. You see, it's a different time, but they dealt with that. And if we learn, our children learn this example, that can be a very moving.
I got to hurry up, Mason.
Okay,
I got the boy
you.
A little.
You
waited so long.
Okay.
Let me hold on, Mason.
Go on. What you say?
Comment on him because that is a very important point. When
Thank
we're
you.
Celebrating
Thank
our
you,
holidays, we need to have the, like her birthday, how many people in your listening audience do, and how many of their children and grandchildren know who Ida B. Wells is, know what she stood for? In the context of elevating these holidays and birthdays and things of our people, we should be doing that in our communities and talking about their philosophies and then taking those philosophies and applying them to modern times and showing our young people how to survive. And let me just make a point on that same regard. I had a group of women who were my patients who were on public assistance, and they were complaining about how the school systems, you know, in their areas don't allow their children to take opportunities like they do in the other parts of the city. And they wanted their children to be able to go to the museums and do some things. But I'm looking at my sisters, and they all have beautiful nails done.
Uh-huh.
They all are wearing really expensive, you know, tennis shoes.
And $400 or $500 hairdo.
Yeah, and I said to them, you know, they're 20, 30, 40 of you all. Ultimately, we end up with a group of 200, but not at the same time. I said, I want you all to take $1 a week. $1 a week, put it away together, and let's compound the interest. And let's see at the end of 2 years what you have, and then you can stop complaining about what your schools don't do. You haven't been in those schools to agitate for your children first, but I'm looking at these nails that you went to some other group, not even an African-American, to get done.
You done nails are unsanitary, too. I don't like waitress waiting on me. You got those nails on.
Yeah, but
listen, I hate to say that, but you don't know what's on them. But go on.
You know, and you're going out to it, but because we have been socialized to make ourselves less of a priority in terms of what's relevant. We've been looking at the window dressings, mm-hmm. but we've not been looking at the foundation of the house because that's not what's being taught. What's being taught is, you know, desperate housewives. And
yeah,
all these kinds
yeah,
of things.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying all that to say to buttress and agree with
what about the Atlantis housewives, this whole thing with these black women pulling each other hair. And,
right.
That's not what we came up with, Dr. New. We sit in the kitchen.
But that's a diversionary tactic. And mm-hmm. what I'm saying is that's a diversionary tactic to keep us from unifying, to make us constantly be in chaos with each other as women and men, and to take us away from the priorities when looking like a diva is, and nobody's saying that you're supposed to look tacky, but when looking like a diva, giving your money to other people outside of your communities to look like that diva and not investing anything in your own communities has to do with the fact that we don't know our heroes and sheroes, and we don't know what they represented, and we are not replicating the models of success that were used.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone. I'm going to take two calls at a time, and you answer both of those and write the questions down because we're into our 30. We got like 25 minutes. I want to empty this board, 773-591-1690. I want to make sure I try to get to everybody. So I'm going to take two questions at one time, write them down, Dr. Newton, and you can answer them. BJ?
Good morning, Dorothy. God loves you, and so do I.
Thank you.
My strength, and I'm ready to get into battle. I've got a question for Dr. Newton. First of all, I got to say thank you for being on. I got to say, I'm taking copious notes because I know a lot about a lot of things, but not enough about black history. And I want to be in the near future qualified to teach history like Maceo is. My question is, who is the lady that brought people up on the underground railroad who said she could have saved more if only they had known that they would have had a better life as a free man?
You know that's Harriet Tubman, BJ. You ought to be.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Hey, listen, one quick statement I got to make is this. You mentioned about the gas stations and the fact that the city conspired to shut the Neely brothers down. I had a friend of mine.
I mentioned that earlier, BJ, but we want to stay with Dr. Newton now. We're going to talk about that next week. But I mentioned that economically, how they took all the gas stations away from black folks.
One thing your brother mentioned about Michelle Obama, she is helping people to avoid dying early from degenerative disease.
Okay, so you're going all over the place, BJ. I got to stay right here because I got thanks, BJ. I got a lot of calls that's waiting, and I got to go here. Robert, how you doing?
Ladies.
Good morning.
Dr. Newton, Mrs. Tillman, how you all doing?
Mm-hmm.
It appears that we are anchored in a bad position right now.
What do you mean?
What I mean by that we are stagnant, we're not moving like we should do. There are solutions that are being brought up. Dr. Newton has pronounced quite a few. The cold has been mentioned, everything. But these solutions are not working. And one more thing I want to say is the fact that I personally am afraid of our plight in this system.
I feel
because there's an economic plan that is being performed worldwide. By 2020, certain things will be in position, and we are not in the equation. Another thing that I must say, this eugenic plan that has been presented, we are being annihilated. I mean, across the board. So these solutions that we are bringing up, we have to put them in place, because if we don't, we will be a annihilated race. Goodbye, ladies. I'll talk to you all later. I appreciate your every Saturday talk, Ms. Tillman, because this does keep us awake. Dr. Newton, thank you for coming on there to her show and giving your advice, and hopefully that we can get some sort of solution working.
Okay, let me let her answer both. Thank you. You want to come in on both of those, Dr. Newton? They didn't have a question. Most of them had statements.
Yeah,
but you want to come in on both
the
of
next
them?
Next question, and I can put that in the context of the next question.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll do that. John, how you doing?
Dorothy.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dorothy.
Yes.
What I want to say to you is this. It's so simple, the solution. McCarthy's been ineffective as far as being the superintendent.
So, he sounds like he want to go anyway. I saw he sound weak too since his heart attack. But he said yesterday, I know he went up against Rahm Emanuel when he said that they're being overworked and they don't have enough people on the job. I mean, he said some stuff in the paper the other day that blew my mind. He must be ready to walk.
We need to hurry up and run him out of Chicago.
Well, you know, we really don't have a lot of blacks on the police force anymore. Blacks are dwindling all over government in this city. If you look at the blacks on the police department, you can't have community policemen because we don't have black folks. You have white and other brown people. But McCarthy looked like he on his way out. That's all you want to say, John?
No, and one other thing. Do the aldermen care, because you don't hear them saying anything?
When you're scared, not all, but most of them will be scared. They don't understand. Black folks got to let their representatives know, anybody that represents us that we vote for. We're the only group that lets folks, we elect people and don't expect nothing from them, and we should demand that. Thank you. Okay, Dr. Newton, you want to? I'm going to let you comment on the people who said something.
Well, I mean, they're all saying the same thing. I mean, basically, is that people don't represent us. We don't advocate for ourselves the way we should. And fear. Fear has always been a mechanism of control from the time we got on the slave ship to the time we landed. And it's still working and operational.
Well, you know, I'm going to play this song for you. It's by Charles Bevel. And they talk about it. I'm going to play a little bit of it. If you see cowards, whoever you see cowards, you're going to see a slave. You can't be scared. Fear is bad. Fear is dangerous.
7735916 Trying to find a voice that I heard crying. What I see really troubles me.
Charles Bevel, James Bevel, little baby brother. Charles Bevel, we'll play the whole song for y'all next week. I tell you. I'm going to try to go back to the phone. I got this whole board is lit up. Dr. Newton, I'm going to try to take 3 more calls real quick.
And while you're doing that, let me just say about that whole issue of fear.
Uh-huh.
We have to make our politicians fear us more than they do
the
City Hall.
That's right. I agree with you on that one. Minister Plump, make it quick because I got 15 minutes. Y'all got to help me out because I want Dr. Newton answers, so don't make a long speech. Minister Plump.
Wait on y'all, Shalom,
black. Okay, 15 minutes, I guess, so you got to hurry up, Minister Plump.
Okay, Dorothy. I just like for my question is for Dr. Patricia Newton.
Mm-hmm.
To see if she'll be able to help us do a collaboration.
Okay, now.
Youth and Adults Foundation will help us stop the violence. Right.
Okay, you listen to what she's saying, though, Plump. Okay.
Okay, we're out there tomorrow.
Okay, now.
We're going to be out there every Sunday from 2:30
okay.
to 4, if she'll be able to come and join us.
Thank you. Thank you, Plump. Thank you so much. Don't let me just go on down the line. Angel, how can I help you?
Good morning, black.
Black.
I'm going to be cool about it. Don't hang up on Dorothy. Listen, I want to thank the, but because our ancestors, Dorothy, was emancipated without being comfortable.
Slow up, please.
Listen, because of that fact, we are 400 years behind. So, Doctor, I want to ask you this here. How can we, as taxpaying black constituents, expect the same system and the same people that created our precious, our ancestors, and ourselves to ever have a political way to solve the problem? And the thing about it is this right here. Are we ready for a 21st century territorial, separate territory option?
Okay, thank you. I got two questions, Angel. She got them now. She's going to answer you when I get these other two people. Now, you just going over the board. Darren, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine. You want to ask a question about fear?
Yeah. It took me back to the movie Django, and when in the scene where he put the skull down and talked about old Ben, and how old Ben was shaving, you know, his father or whatever, and that he would have cut his father's throat a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the thing where he tried to explain as being scientific. With the three dots.
They used all kinds of things for fear to fear us, Darren, and you're absolutely right. Is that your statement or question to Dr. Newton?
Yeah, and that's the Trinity and putting, you know, a white God up in front of us and, you know, a lot of other things too, but that's what that scene did. And as long as we under, you know, somebody else's thinking, whether it's religiously, politically, or what have you, then that fear is always instilled in us.
Thank you so much, Darren. Thank you, Wilma. I'm trying to empty the board. Wilma?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask a quick question. Can we, as Americans, counter-sue John Boehner and the raggedy job that Congress has done and sue Congress? They have trying to degrade our president.
Our president.
Can we do a class action suit against Congress? Is that something that's
possible? Well, okay, I'll answer that question when we come back. I'm going to let Newton answer some other ones. Dee Dee, our West Side.
Hey, Sister Dorothy.
God is still on the throne. How can I help you?
He is. All praises I do to him.
Uh-huh.
I just want to be real short because the sister you have not mentioned our seniors. They've got our seniors in these rest homes. They've got them in assisted living. And these places are taking all of their money.
Okay.
They're taking their food stamps. They can't, you know, buy what they like to eat. I just wanted to mention the assisted living.
Okay, thank you.
And
I'm sure Dr. Newton really want to talk about that. Dr. Newton, thank you. It's yours, Dr. Newton, to try to answer or discuss as many things.
Well, the whole senior issue, you know, is a very private. My father is, you know, 90 years old, and I'm paying, thank God I have the money to do it for him to have home care for people to be in his home because he wants to be in his home. He has no senility.
Mm-hmm.
But the assisted living community is a profit-making community. My position is on that. Is that we need to look at our churches, and I was, you know, wanting to go back to that because our churches have the ability and our religious institutions do have the ability to create and get financing to make profitable as well as caring places for elderly who cannot be kept at home.
Right.
And we need to be exploring that. In terms of advocation, we need to be looking at also taking our resources and creating our own credit unions, creating our own financial institutions and encouraging our young people to come back and do some volunteer work while we also find ways to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody can sustain themselves without some kind of income.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the issue that we're dealing with is how do we create viable and meaningful financial opportunities. And that is we need to, rather than concentrating on Boehner, we need to be going after our athletes and our entertainers to reinvest that money back in our communities. I don't really care what John Boehner does.
Maybe that's not the fuse. I'm not thinking about Boehner and trying, like I said.
But I do care about what Magic Johnson and about what Beyonce and Jay-Z do because they were just here. And the tickets went from $350 to $750. 50,000 people in Baltimore showed up, and they were all predominantly black. They sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that money come from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that money did not come back into Baltimore City. And I'm not putting down Jay-Z.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
I'm just saying.
They have to rebuild community. That's what Dr. King said, that I've seen the promised land. I'm willing to die for you, to lay my body down, to open these doors. Because before the movement that we stood up, they would never been able to even work those venues. You wouldn't have people in the boardroom. You wouldn't even have open. You have all of this. The thing of it is they run because these people are afraid that they'd be too black, that those people are going to take things away from them. And like you said, it'd be more frightened of us. I'm with you on that. Because, see, that subterfuge. I don't have time for Boehner and none of the rest of them. Right now, our president is getting ready to give these people who come over the border money for education, for lawyers and for shelters, and we have poverty and violence right here in our community.
Right.
It has not been addressed.
And it seems to me that the whole Guatemalan and Central American migration to children came right on the heels of all the African children that were kidnapped and being sold into sex slavery.
Right.
In northern Nigeria. Now we don't hear anything about those girls who are going to be raped and put into human trafficking and a whole number of things. So to me, that was a very interesting diversion that came out because the community worldwide was rallying behind those children. Now you hear nothing.
Right.
So what does that say? That say that there's always some diversionary tactic away from what we need in our communities, in our nation, and in our world that will take our attention, and we get thrown off the mark, and we forget that we have to keep an incremental progression moving forward and that people don't have to always agree, but we have to be moving in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling for these entertainers and these athletes to reinvest. One somebody, I forget the name, gave all that money to a white university but didn't give it to one of the historically black colleges.
Right.
I'm just saying our priorities are very confused, and we are at war, and the war is being waged against us, and the battles are being fought, and we are losing them until we realize we are at war and begin a strategic alliance and partnership and begin to look at how we can go on the offensive and advocate and agitate and demand that these politicians give us what we need.
Because our taxes, dollars that you talked about, it's our tax dollars that we have a right to. They're giving it to everybody. They bring all these people in. They let them. I see New York got this thing, come to New York and open business tax free for 10 years. Well, they've been doing that for other people forever.
And we need to make them understand that you can't keep getting reelected unless you give us something, and it can't be just a handout. It cannot be just pittance. It has to be reasonable dollar investments because we are the victims of this entire process, from the transatlantic slave trade to the slave codes to modern-day gentrification and regentrification. We are the victims, and as such, we need to be able to have these people be held accountable, and to the degree that we don't do that, it's our fault, and look at how we're being treated.
A lady told me the other day, Dr. Noon, I was talking to her. I was talking to her. She don't know how she turned me off. We were talking. She said, "I'm and my son are going to go to. I'm taking my son to Paris." I said, "Really? Why don't you
go?" Never think about going to Africa.
I said, "What about Africa?" "Oh, I can't go there." I said, "Why not?" Mm-hmm. I said, "But you wear all those mud cloth clothes. I thought you had already been to Africa." And then I said, why not? I said, Ghana is not a long trip. Go try Ghana. Oh, I can't stand to look at these slaves. I cannot stand it. Oh, I can't stand to look at the slave dungeons. I can't stand this. That's just baloney. How can
well,
black folks say
that? That's to keep you from, to make you forget about what we have to deal with and to make you not think that it's still happening. And so our people are confused. And unfortunately, we can pray for them, but we got to move them on out of the way and get with the people who are about seriously about reinvesting in our children and reinvesting in our communities and reinvesting in our future and stop just dealing with the here and now.
Right.
And that means the minimizing our drug and alcohol addiction. That means stopping our family violence. That means giving love and not abuse to our children. And that means containing these pedophiles and these human traffickers that prey upon our children as they try to get a little education that isn't even worth sometimes what they're going to school for.
Well, you know, we have to have you back because we got to talk about some more of this because and I only got about six more minutes. That's why this time went by in this classroom. You've been an excellent instructor. You know, every Saturday we try to teach them something, and you've just been so good. But one of the things is we got to figure out how to get people past the whole thing of not wanting to know their history. I mean, I want to talk about that trauma. Why
well,
not 1 year?
If you don't know where you've been, then you have no idea about where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're buying into the myth that you're American and not African, then you're part of the problem and not part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to at least do our best to educate you, but if you're not willing to listen, we have to move you to the side and move on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree.
We can't save everybody. We can only save those who are ready.
Now, you're interesting. You talked about the Black Code, and a lot of black folks don't know about that Black Code. They need to look it up. I pulled it down and put it on my website, too.
All of the various, you know, colonizing places, all of our various colonies within the United States before they became states, and then every state then had codes.
Right.
And that's what, quote, state rule
right.
What is all about. We need to understand the psychology and the philosophy of certain conservatives because they're just reenacting the slave
code. That's right, the John Birch Society. These folks want to talk about the Klan. It was the John Birch Society, the White Citizen Council. All of these people, they go to them. They said one of the John Birch Society, and that's your. They said they had a code that when a black come to them as a doctor, whatever their profession was, that black should be left worse than they was when they came. And they do it. If you're a dentist, pull a tooth if you don't need to. If you're a gynecologist, take out the tooth if you don't need to. So that was really interesting. But Dr. Newton, tell people how they can look you up, find you, your website, anything, your lecture.
Well, let me just say that. I'm with the Black Psychiatrists of America, and I'm also, you can reach me directly by emailing me at docpatnewton@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's docpatnewton@gmail.com.
Okay.
We will be putting up by the end of August our website called Post Traumatic Slavery Disorder. It'll be just a website dedicated to that with a blog and everything as we are relaunching the book again this year. And so you can email me and we'll be able to keep you posted. You can also, we just finished on Thursday, the 2014 Mental Health Status of Black America.
Oh, yes.
With Congressman Cummings.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think it's still on the website, but if not, you can always go order it from us, and that's bpainc.org.
Mm-hmm.
And BPAINC.org.
Okay.
But we are around, and, you know, like I say, those of us who are out front are constantly being threatened.
Yes,
constantly
are.
Being, you know,
mm-hmm.
tried to put silence. But, you know, that is the reality, and we understand it, and those are the risks that we take when we try to save our people. But it's kind of hard to... kind of difficult when our people don't know what they
right.
don't know.
Well, I'm gonna.
They don't want to save themselves.
Right. Well, I know you just got through with a conference with Dr. Anderson, and you said.
Francis Weldon, myself, Anderson Thompson. I mean, Claude Anderson, Tony Barter, Umar Johnson, and myself.
We're gonna have to do something like that. I had
Washington
you
together.
I'm gonna bring you back here. I had you here a few years ago. I'm about to bring all y'all back here so people can hear that. Thank you, Dr. Newton. You've been listening to Talk of Chicago 69, the viewing competition conversation with me every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., where we try to teach and bring something of value and to you, more than just a talk show. It's really an educational class. Make sure you come out to VON Taste of Chicago next Saturday, y'all, one of the largest black taste and gathering. And we don't have any problems with our taste because black folks love and respect WVON. Meet us there next Saturday. I'll be there. Until next Saturday, this is Dorothy Wright Tillman, the same to you. And you, if you missed it, you can go to Blog Talk and get it. We're saying to you, reparations now. Hold on, Dr. Newton, reparations now.
What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands got blisters, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and Mother Africa in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resources. So to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chain, brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled and locked in chain, girl. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over?
Walk to your shores, Baltimore, tell your business, beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus, and the bottom of your ships and at the back of your butt, you'll find us with a black face embedded in stuff, survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough, give us our just due, just you didn't billet. If we can figure for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted, and meanwhile and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree, we'd probably be millionaires, equal share across the board, able to afford to rebuild and restore. Ignored was a black slave put to death with promised land on his mind and free on his breath. It's only correct, America, you cut us a check with a whip, wounds and flesh, and the disrespect for every black that was strapped with whips, for every piece of cotton picked till our fingertips turned bloody and bigger than money. Reparations is about compensation. It's time that you made
the way. The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation.